reckon we are now? You reckon we are now? Alright, this seance was recorded on Saturday, the 27th, is it? Of March 1971, in the presence of a lot of our buds from Reading.
Why? Because people have arrived and she's not here to see them. Take the green light. You've got the Demon King and Pantomime light shining on you at night.
This seance was recorded.
Was it?
Yeah.
You're optimistic. Sometimes it isn't.
Maybe this. Oh, no, last time it didn't last long.
Well, no, we had wire on.
The wire on.
Oh, that's all right. His Luna Swatch won't matter. Oh, she's taking it away from you.
No, it isn't that at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you...
She's still dodgy about... would you like to sit and leave?
No,
are you nervous or something?
No.
Right?
Yeah.
This seance was recorded on the 27th of March, 1971, medium Leslie Flint.
Jennifer, in the presence of... Don Harvey, Miss Grace, Mrs. Lawrence, and Barry Cairns.
But I think that it's supposed to be picked up by the microphone outside. Even assuming that they could be, they would be terribly muffled and terribly indistinct. And they themselves, before one of their meetings, tried it. They experimented, and they said it was absolutely impossible that any voice that was manufactured inside the cabinet to reach the microphone, which was placed some 2 feet or so away from the heavy curtained front of the thing, would have been so muffled and indistinct that it just couldn't be done. Which was a marvellous test. You know what I mean? This is what I have been so proud of all my life, that I've been this able. I mean, for instance, with all due respect to dear Esther Roberts, when she gave a meeting at the Kingsway Hall, a great voice, they couldn't get the voices from the cabinet into the microphone. It was so indistinct that her daughter had to relay everything from outside the cabinet into a microphone because you couldn't hear what the voices were saying inside the cabinet. And this is what I've always prided myself on.
Well, yes, I couldn't agree more. Well, we haven't any difficulty in getting an Ampex engineer to show the car, and I thought about doing that. Because I'm basically, I mean, in a public demonstration, well, we can't bet everyone like we can in a smaller group of 40, 50 or 60 people. If you've got 300 people there, well, then obviously you're going to get people, inexperienced people in, and it's necessary to have something of the nature of, you say, someone that's certified, that's experienced in the same amplifications, say what is what. But I think, quite frankly, you overestimate a little bit the need for this, because I've hardened my heart very, very considerably over the years.
Started off well.
From the point of view of hearing this, it's not for us to prove that it's genuine, it's for you to say, it can be fraudulently produced. See, now there's a tremendous difference in this. And I think this is the attitude we should adopt. We want to harden our heart about the skeptic. Personally, I'm getting to the point where I couldn't get...
Well, yes, I appreciate all this.
I know that from a mediumistic point of view, you've got to look at it from another angle.
Well, I feel I have a reputation. I want to preserve it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether you want to preserve it or not. I mean, your reputation is a problem, but anyway. I don't think there's any question as to I think you've got
in any case, quite frankly, I don't think in a sense that I agree with you to a point as far as Reading is concerned and a church that it matters all that much.
No.
I mean, from the point of view of whether it is inside or outside the cabinet, I do understand that. I mean, the vast majority of people are going to be there are spiritualists, people who have some knowledge and experience of the subject. I should imagine there'll be very few people who outside spiritualism, or perhaps only just on the fringe, you know.
Of course, in visiting, if you feel able and willing, and I think, quite frankly, even as I said in my letter, leaving Reading as a society out of it, the time has come when I think that it's so desperately important that you should be getting over. You're in a unique position. There's no one else at all. No one. And I think that to get this over to a wider volume of people is so desperately important. I really feel this. And now in doing this, we're always going to risk having the skeptic there, because...
well, that's just as well to have this. I mean, that's our question, and one should welcome them.
And therefore, I go along to a degree with your sentiments about your reputation. But I don't think that we should worry about this to the extent that we are possibly going to create conditions which are going to make things difficult or inhibit the phenomena.
Well, I think that it's important not to suggest by inference or anything, you know, to people that one can't trust the mediumship. You know what I mean? In the old days, I mean, with the Kingsway Hall, I mean, you've got 2,000 people there, roughly. I mean, I suppose 80%, perhaps 75% were spiritualists and people on the fringe, and the other 25% were people who'd been attracted and come out of curiosity and what have you. And that's why we had the Tannoy people. We had nothing whatever to do with the equipment. In fact, we couldn't have done it, such a vast place. And they themselves put it in, and they made public statement to the effect that it was actually impossible.
Oh, yes,
you know.
Heard this.
But in a spiritualist church, where you're getting a vast majority of spiritualists, and it is a demonstration, and I don't think perhaps it matters so much, you know. That.
Well, I'm envisaging, of course we haven't come to grips with this yet, and I quite understand that you want to feel the way of it, so here you go. But it seems to me that...
But I don't really want to do any public demonstrations. It's only you talked me into it. I mean, I wouldn't dream of doing anyone anywhere else.
I know all about you talking. I haven't said a word about it. I've kept very, very quiet over the last 30 years about this. Very quiet. In fact, I'm amazed at my own humility. But all joking on one side, you know in your heart that... I know you do, you see, that this... the value of your mediumship is so great that, leaving out any economic considerations at all, there is still an enormous need to get this information over. Now, I'm envisaging that we've got a colossal, a terrific public. It's not a question of filling the church as often as you care come down. It's a question of regulating and making sure that the widest number of people over the greatest possible area can benefit from this. No, I mean benefit. So that it's not a question. I don't want to see the same people coming time after time.
But you will.
Ah, no you won't.
Yeah.
No you won't. Because you see, we can do it through... No, you see, this is a very thing that I want to try and avoid.
Yeah. Well, the only way to avoid that is to advertise in Psychic News, and you get people all over the country coming down the road.
This may be necessary, but on the other hand, it can be done by direct mail to responsible organisations. Not necessarily, shall we say, always spiritualist organisations, if it comes to that. Because there are a tremendous number of responsible organisations with whom we're in contact and have spoken to, particularly in our own area, that could be given the opportunity. And in giving the opportunity, I say education can be done in the form of leaflets, so that the greatest possible good is being done. But
I'm not
to do any public work. But
well, actually, I'll be quite frank, I dread it. I've got past
well, you won't. Well, you won't when you claim the success that I'm quite sure that it
well, last one wasn't a success.
It was from your point of view. It was only a flaming amplifier that went up.
So everybody enjoyed that, Mr. Flint. That was a shame, really, that happened. But from your point of view, it was a success.
Yes. You've never had a dud sitting at Reading?
Yes, a dud sits up here, then.
Oh, of course you have. I'm not surprised at that. I've already told you. My views on that quite forcibly and frankly. And you require a vast number of people around you. I don't mean in the audience, but I mean you need the rejuvenating psychic energy which you get from a lot of people who are sympathetically and friendly disposed.
All Dominion Reading.
Oh, he's got you weighed up there. Oh, yes.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yes. I know you're old.
Yeah. Well, you can't say he's never tried, Mr. Flint, can you?
No. Well, I'm very, very fond of him because he's I really am. He's very sincere, he's very honest and open and forthright. And
I'm glad you said open. He's gone all the way around the Mulberry Bush.
No, but it's true. I mean, it is true. I mean, I'm not laying my top, but I suppose I could work in any spiritualist church in this country.
Yeah.
And I could do big meetings again if I only could put my name in Psychic News and advertise the thing and do the Kingsway Hall and that again.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, make a packet if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, you see.
Yeah, but you must make enough, because we need
it's not going on until you're 90, isn't it? No. What it's just fizzling out of 60 at the
moment. We've got to rejuvenate
it. Yeah, well, only Reading can do that, according to you.
No, I haven't said that. But if you can find any other organisation with the facilities which we have, that would work in your interest as well as their own to the same extent, well, I say, God bless you, you have a go.
What you don't understand, I don't particularly want to.
I know you don't, but you're denying that the full potential of your mediumship. You've had a plain rest for about 25 years, and it's time you jerked yourself out of it.
You know, I had a real bashing, you know, for many years of big public meetings and up and down the country, town halls, all over the place.
We had a bashing organising the coachways who come up too.
And they nearly killed me. I mean, this is not an exaggeration. I mean, although the society...
Well, this is because you had people that weren't watching your interests.
Well, I don't know. I had some of the most famous names in spiritualism.
God, that's nothing to go by.
Have you finished, you two?
The Reverend Father Sharp, the Reverend Drayton Thomas, the Lord Dyson. You mentioned them.
No one knew anything about spiritualism, really.
Well...
Well, Drayton Thomas.
Well, yeah,
he was a marvellous man.
He was all right.
Yeah, well,
now
you
but
have
David.
That, or you put your foot in it.
I remember going down to take a meeting in a big super cinema down in Norfolk with Lord Dyson. The place was jammed.
Yeah.
But this isn't quite the right idea, you know. I think 2000 isn't
enough.
Well, you can't go to a public park. Why not do it in the
Arab?
That's an idea.
Which one? Well, there's no reason why one shouldn't after all, and let's face it, there's no reason why one shouldn't do it in the open, like the Hollywood Bowl or somewhere like that.
Right.
All you need is a cabinet and a microphone.
And a medium.
And a medium.
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't the place or the size of the place that matters at all. I mean, it just is insignificant, really.
Well, what I had been tinkering with, I rather favour perhaps getting 30, 40 people, I don't know, maybe getting the seance room up there.
I'm not happy about that idea, quite honestly. Not knowing human nature, I don't think it'll work out.
What
your suggestion of my coming down to do about 30 people at a time?
Of course it would work, eh?
I don't
think so.
Human nature.
In what way, Mr. Flint?
Well, quite honestly, Dorry, human beings, being human beings, with all that Douglas says, and I appreciate his sincerity, but and he knows, and I know, and as a medium I know, perhaps I would say more than Douglas, but I do know that people are, whatever they may say on the surface, about sitting with a medium, not necessarily with me, but with any medium, they say, oh, I'm interested in the philosophy and the teachings, I'd like to have the experience. I don't mind if I don't get anything personal, which is an absolute dead lie. 99 people out of 100, they may say that, but they do go away, and they say, oh, well, of course, I never got anything, but then, of course, I never do. This
well,
is
I'm
human.
One of those sort of people.
Mm. Yeah, well, you're exceptional.
I know, but you're overlooking the fact that we actually did this with Olson for years, and we never had any trouble at all.
No, it's not a matter of trouble, it's a matter of the human element.
People
will say, oh, yes, it was marvellous, really. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Flint's a marvellous medium. But, of course, I never get anything when I go out there.
Well, so
I
what?
Never get anyone come and speak to me that I know. I haven't had any evidence. You know.
Well, now, I'll tell you something, Mr.
Yeah.
All the circles, and even if it was, say, you'd done one, you know, you'd come and you'd have 30 people. Now, there's never anyone that goes out. But what, and I'm responsible for ticket meetings and bookings and things like that I always ask every individual, are you completely satisfied? And if I get, which I never have up to the moment, a dissatisfied customer, I always give them the money back.
Yeah, I know, love, but this is very
difficult. We actually did this constantly. We used to have, because when Olson came to the old church, we haven't got the space that we've got now.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of dozen was the most we could get in, really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we, as often he could possibly came, and I suppose he gave us more dates than he did most churches, because we tried to treat him fairly and well, and we had some magnificent times, and there was always a waiting list to fill up there, always a waiting list, and we never, to my knowledge, that we never had the slightest difficulty at all. Well, the charge was about 15 bob, but then that's years and years ago, you see, and we guaranteed the fee to Olson, and we got just an odd pound or two, we didn't make a lot out of it, that wasn't the intention, any more than it would be the intention to make more than about 150 pounds a time when you came. But you see what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and I respect you.
Believe me, it works, and it would work even better with you than it did with Olson.
Well, maybe it would, I don't know.
Well, most of our people that come into the church, they like to come because they like the experience. And I do honestly believe most people that come into these things, they say, well, we don't mind if we personally don't get anything, but we like the experience. It's something we've never seen or we never heard.
I think this applies to a percentage of people.
There are a lot of people, and I mean, like my young people, you see, they've never experienced anything like this. Like Miss Grace and Mr. Harvey, they never have. But it's an experience.
Actually, the whole tragedy of spiritualism, in a sense, is the fact that mediums have to live like everybody else.
Well, of course
they have
do.
To make charges and have fees.
And
you know, this is the big headache. And a lot of people just don't realise or don't think deeply enough about it. They don't seem to think that a medium should have a reasonably nice home. And after all, a medium, he's got nothing at the end of his, unless he's been fortunate enough to save it, but he's got nothing at the end. He hasn't got a money left to him or coming to him or a firm's given him an allowance or whatever it is. They just don't think these people.
This is the whole trouble, and this is why I feel in the present situation that with the lack of understanding on the part of the public generally, the spirit is public about these things, that one can't see any alternative but for any medium to be able to be isolated from these problems is to have sincere organisational backing behind them. And it seems to me, however you look round, it comes back to this thing. But
all the mediums I've ever known have always had to fend for themselves, and most of them have died in not abject poverty, but not particularly comfortably off. I don't think I know, with a few odd exceptions. Even Estelle Roberts, she didn't die a wealthy woman by any long chalk. In fact, she was living in a place that was given to her by a wealthy client for the duration of her life. Otherwise, she'd probably been living with some member of the family. You see, this nonsensical people talk about medium making off money and all that stuff. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's so long ago. It's been about 8 months straight off and you were laid up.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. I can't afford to be ill.
Yeah.
In fact, if it hadn't been for two very loyal friends who were comfortably off, I don't know what I'd have done. People have got some weird ideas about medium. No assured income, there's nothing at the end of it when you're 65 or retire, or no pension, no nothing. I wouldn't recommend my worst enemy to be a medium. I've always said this and I maintain it.
What a great responsibility, really.
It's absolutely nerve-wracking, great responsibility. It's all right if you combine it with your ordinary job.
Yes, this is responsibility. This is where you want to be able to shed responsibility, bring it on to somebody else that can cope with it. Isolate. Me, you should be isolated from this responsibility.
Except Mickey's gone away for the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did warn you, didn't I? You did do this.
You know, it is a fallacy, you know, people have such, because I mean, one hears all sorts of things, one doesn't necessarily believe everything that people say and all the rest of it, but you take those meetings I used to do at the Kingsway Hall, with 2,000 people, they were packed. I never got anything out of those. By the time the society had paid all the running expenses, the hiring of the hall, the tannoy people for the equipment, the organist's fee for playing the organ, and all the other bits and the pieces, the advertising, and then what was left after all that had been paid was split equally between me and the society. I had 50% of any monies that was over the expenses. I had to rest 2 or 3 days before, I had to rest 2 or 3 days afterwards. Actually, I lost on all those meetings, and yet people had the impression that I was making a nice little packet.
Yeah, but you see, again, this comes because this is that method of organisation isn't the answer. We can sort of claim to know something about organisation of meetings in Reading.
In Reading.
I'm going to keep plugging this because you see, we've had a number of town hall meetings, not for 2,000 minutes, but our town hall only holds us over days. But we've had our town hall packed. Practically packed at every town hall meeting that we've run, because it's got to be organised on the right lines, and we've never lost yet on one, ever. But to run meetings where you're going to swallow up the package of all of the takings by advertising and by the cost of the hall and the equipment and all this, well, you may well be doing a bit of good through the meeting, but I mean, it's a pretty fruitless exercise from an economic point of view, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we've always run these meetings and we've advertised, but we've never run them at a loss. And I think it can be done without all this.
You down to Reading once a week and out of just the church, out of the seating capacity in the church. We could insure you £50 out of that meeting without overcharging at all.
Yes, but you can't run a spiritless church on one medium. I mean, your job.
That wouldn't interfere with our other activities.
In any case, I don't think it would do.
I just don't think it would do. You could rest for about 3 or 4 days before, and you'd get in a couple of sittings at the beginning of the week, you know, as well. And what do you be doing?
You really are my greatest fan, aren't you?
No, I'm not a fan of yours.
You're a fan of my mediumship, anyway.
No, I'm not a fan of your mediumship. I always try to be logical and see where the greatest good can be done for the greatest and the greatest benefit with the least possible worry to the medium. And I can't see that there's any other answer to this. There must be organisational support for a medium.
This is what Stansted should be doing. This should be the training college of future mediums, where they could be taught, helped, guided. They could be given a regular salary. They could be sent out to all the different churches on rotas. This is what Stansted should be doing. That's what I think it was there for.
Well, we can soon get you to Stansted.
Oh, I don't particularly want to go to Stansted, but I'm just saying that this was, I'm sure, Findlay's idea.
Yes, I agree.
And it's now being run as a sort of very second-rate tatty hotel.
Tremendous amount of interesting stuff, aren't you, now? Mm. No. Oh, no, be fair. All through the whole of the season, right the way up through October, there's the end of October, there's courses and discussions and experiments and that. Oh, no, they've got a tidy old...
Well, I don't know. I've seen some of their adverts and it wouldn't attract me.
Of course it wouldn't attract you, but it attracts a lot of people that are on the first road.
I mean, for instance, they could engage from America well-known speakers or demonstrators, which would be very attractive to the English spiritualists to hear some of the American mediums from Lilydale and that. They could make that a vital live place for spiritualism and psychical research, have all sorts of marvellous things. But it's so uninteresting. Some woman came to me a few months ago, and she'd been to Stansted. She said it was so damn dreary, there's no proper transport to get you away anywhere, and there was a so-called putting thing, and there was
correct.
One broken old mallet, she said, and a ball. She said it was pathetic.
Well, because you don't go to Stansted to play.
No, I never been.
You go, I think, Stansted's a wonderful place, and in to just my poor view, I don't think that it's got people there that can put, well, what shall I say, love into it. That place needs living in, it needs love putting into it, and from that you could do what you've just said, Mr. Flint. It could be built up, but they've had such a colossal task there.
Yes,
I think the wonder is that they've got as far as they have.
Yes, it is. That's true. That they've been able to survive at all. Because it was Finlay giving that. He gave a place a dilapidated shambles of a place, and it couldn't be called anything else. Mm. And no money either to put it in order or to keep it going. It was terrible.
Well, he gave some money.
Well, I know some of the churches are very furious about Stansted, because I had some members of the church from Harrow, and they've got several thousand pounds invested.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't get, only in dribs and drabs can they get any of their money for their own church, because it's all going to Stansted.
No, it's not all going to Stansted.
They're furious about it.
No, that wasn't right. That's not quite right. I know the whole history of Harrow.
Really?
Oh yes, because I was on the London District Council and it comes in our area. Now I do agree that there were difficulties over their trust. And it was in such a shambles, the Norfolk paper saw it all out. But the admittedly, the Building Fund Board furnished Stansted with a tremendous amount of money, but the interest has been paid back into the Building Fund Board, and at the time, the point was this, at the time there was a lot of money in the Building Fund Board, and there's a lot of money now. At the moment they've got 12,000 pounds available, well probably more than that because this is a month or two back, which have been available for instant demand for the churches. Now, any building society at times runs out of liquid funds temporarily in respect of their assets. And this is what did happen. But you see, you've got to remember that Reading had 18,000 quid all in one go out of them. Now that may be a hole, you see? Well, we didn't have any trouble at all. But that temporary business, I agree that Harrow was kept waiting, but on the other hand, you've got to remember that it wasn't Stansted. I'm not going to give you names of churches because it would be improper for me to do so. But I know of churches, and one church in particular, they had £10,000. They weren't even paying for several years. We couldn't get any interest, let alone repayment of capital out of them. This is what upset the building fund pool. Not just only the money that went into Stansted, it was the fact that churches were not meeting their liabilities.
Mm.
And that particular church has only just started after several years to get money flowing in again. Now, you get a few churches like this that are not even paying their interest, you're in Queer Street before long. And you see, there's another side to this, another side which we're not at liberty to discuss fully because it involves organisations and it's not public business. But I know what I'm talking about there, being on the London District Council, we've had these situations. And the man who was involved in this particular church got up at a general meeting and complained about the money that had been put into Stansted when his own church had had 10,000 pounds just over and wasn't paying anything. You see, so there we are.
Mm. Well, I don't know.
Right, Barry?
Yes, I don't know.
Ah, Barry, you right?
Have they got a big lecture hall at Stansted?
Well, they've converted the old conservatory that was into a lovely sort of meeting room, sanctuary, it's not tremendous, but you get, I suppose you get 150 in it.
When you say conservatory, is it a glass plate?
It was originally, but it's all been rebuilt now. It's quite, look, come the summer, we really must take you down there.
I've never been, sir. I hear all sorts of comments by different people from all over the place that have been there.
I will admit that its biggest drawback is the fact it is a long way from
Well, they say there's no attempt made at transport.
No, that's not quite true. Because there's a car and a chauffeur there, and anyone wants taking to the station or fetching from the station, they've only got to ring up and it's done, isn't it, Doug?
Yes. The transport is available all the time, Sundays and everyone, so I don't know what she was talking about that. And if they only charge half a crane to go from Stansted to the station, so that's not very dear, is it? That was not dear enough.
Oh, well. Where's Mickey got to this morning, I wonder?
He ain't here, I don't think. He'd have been through by now if he were.
Oh, Mickey, where are you then? Here coming.
We always get into arguments, don't we, Dad? Discussions.
I don't think discussions.
But I don't know. This Stansted sounded so fabulous, and it's in beginning, didn't it? You know.
Well,
but evidently there've been so many choppers and changing.
No money at all spent.
They don't seem to have had people capable of running it as it should be run. You know.
Well, why should they?
Well, I mean, if you're running a place as a kind of a hotel, which it really is. Then you want experienced people who know how to run it.
Oh, you do. That is true.
And I have heard so many complaints from people that I'd never go there again.
You've got to pay a terrific salary.
Hmm.
And you've got to guarantee that those people show a profit, which they haven't. You see, you had Harrison's there.
Mm.
Now, he was an experienced hotelier. And the place didn't even pay on its own running expenses.
Mm.
At least it's been making a profit over and above its own running expenses. And after all, we can't manage with it.
I know people can be naughty, but somebody came last week, I think it was, who'd been down there, and they said they have all beautiful homegrown vegetables, but you never get any in the hotel. They only have tin stuff, and all the vegetable stuff goes elsewhere.
Well, that's not true. That is simply not true. Because we've been down there on a number of occasions and we've helped in the kitchen when they've been short of staff and we know. And it's, that is simply just not true, and that's all there is to it. It might be that they have to tin stuff when the stuff is out of season, when they haven't got anything in the gardens.
Well, they wouldn't have very much.
Well, Auntie Ada used to go down there and help them because they were short staff.
Yeah.
You know, and all that sort of thing. It all seems crazy to me. If you're running
that place. It's crazy if there's absolutely no money and you've got the whole of the movement creaming out because they've had to put the place in order.
But Douglas, if that place is, as I understand it often is, packed and people are paying for rooms and food and service, then if it's packed, it must pay. And they should have people there to run it.
But it only pays to a limited extent. When you think that there's the interest on about £80,000 that had to be spent on the place, when you say it pays, what do you mean? Do you mean that it pays from the point of view of its just day-to-day running expenses? Or does it pay from the point of view that it's got such an utter colossal overhead expense to meet from the interest alone? You see, which is absolutely crippling. And you see, this is what's crippling them, the fact that they can't build up any capital to play with, to get people over from America or here, there or everywhere. You see, they know, believe me, they've got ideas, they've got plenty of ideas, but you can't introduce ideas unless you've got the money to back them up. And you've got to remember too that in drawing upon a spiritualist population, normally you're not contacting the people with money, let's face it, to any extent. And if they put the price up for residents for a week, they're in the day being fully booked. And this is a problem. It's a real headache.
But do they have... do they have varying prices according to the rooms and situation of the rooms and whether they've got a bathroom attached and all that sort of thing? I mean, there must be variations in the quality or the type of rooms and all that sort of thing.
Well,
the
rooms are very, very uniform, actually.
Are they?
Yes, very uniform.
And in other words, everyone pays the same,
yes,
whatever it is.
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's extras for various things if you that are optional extras, of course.
Well,
like, for instance, you may not want a coach trip. I mean, Woburn Abbey, I mean, I'm only taking that as an example. Well, you can have it or you can leave it, just as you like. But, you see, there are all sorts of activities which are arranged in there. And I don't think that it's really fair to, what shall I say, fair enough to criticise because you want to ascertain the best way of running a place and ensure that it's run in that manner.
Who's responsible for it now, the running of it?
Well, you see, you've got Crostrell, who is the educational supervisor, who is responsible for getting all the various courses and speakers, except when district councils take it for a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are responsible then for arranging all the events, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And the district council pays standards of, not necessarily the district council, the church, London Church did it for a week. They pay standards a block sum for taking it over, you see. And they make their own charges then.
Mm-hmm.
And some extremely interesting weeks have been arranged in this way. But ordinarily, outside of the block bookings by district councils or churches and other organisations, see the Greater World, I think, is running a week this year. I'm open to correction there, but I heard something about this. Whether it's come about or not, I don't know. And the SAGB, I think, is cooperating in a week with somebody or other. It's gradually finding its feet, but you can't, a completely new venture of such a colossal magnitude, you just can't get that going a full blast in 1 year or 2 years.
How many bedrooms are
there? Well, there's accommodation for 100 guests.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Two people to a room or one to
Yes, you see, there's a lot of double rooms, you see. I suppose there would be about There's probably 50 bedrooms, I should say.
Can you sleep, John?
No. Me go to sleep and all this gaggle, didn't I? Well, it looks as if Mickey's had it today, and we've had it, or somebody's had it.
I don't think he loves us.
He probably loves us, but perhaps he just can't for some reason. This does happen.
We're not supposed to sit savages anyway, are we?
Well...
But here again, you see, what can you do when people can only come on savages?
Well, I've tried to be cooperative for them. I've now started doing an occasional afternoon and on once a month an evening. But I must say it's all very...
Yeah, it's very difficult. And there's only one solution, and that's a bit very...